ended from the beginning. Thought about that. The tech is a portfolio movie on social development, open. And we invite honorable members to have their four programs in hand and to look there, which is the indication of what we are going to do today. But we will then, while looking there, be able to allow the secretary of the portfolio committee to take us through the other routine processes, such as understanding our attendance, whether we do have apologies, and whether that will give an indication that we legitimate, we are fully ready to take our future on. Please, can I allow you, Secretary of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development?
Thank you very much, good morning, honorable members, Education Minister, Officials of the Department, to this morning meeting. I have a couple of apologies. One is from the Minister, who was with us today. He's leading a South African delegation to Geneva for the initial country report to the UN Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. Another one is from Honorable Fana Bembe and Honorable Solti, who indicated their absence due to political commitments, political commitments. And another one is from Honorable Jose, as you know, that she is still in Finland to present a paper showing the effects in South Africa on the effect of all that. I think those are the Martha's aware that she's not well. Her medical certificate has been extended. Thank you very much, Ebola.
Thank you very much on Uma Mabaka. She is doing well. I spoke to her, she wishes that well, and she says she's prognosis is very good. She might be able to join us. She does need the images. And can I therefore put the apologies to the House and see if there are any issues to raise? It seems we are agreeing that they are right and then we can proceed. Today our portfolio committee is embarking on a compliance matter that is looking into the report from the department, and therefore without further ado I can request the department to be on the floor. However, I will give an opportunity if they have new members. We don't want to take for granted that Taban will always be Taban. So if they are all Nancy Barney is always the one, you might find another one. Can I have that? If that is not, then we will do that. Go on. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Just two apologies from our side, Chair. We want to apologize for misleading the letter. That's the CEO of the department. And she's taking a very funeral today. And we also want to apologize for our dear home, his brother passed away this morning. So, Fanny will do the financial as the director in the finance unit.
sometimes we don't have so many new faces. But in that, it's the acting, she's the acting DG. She's the acting DG social assistant, but acting DG for the week. And I want to thank the portfolio committee for the opportunity that we have given, and just to indicate that Chairperson, for the first quarter, we have met 69% of our target in terms of the first quarter, and we do have 11% targets that are partially achieved, and 20 targets that were not achieved, which I will just indicate the reasons very shortly for any other future plans. The 20% targets are two bills. The first one is, the two bills were affected, of course, by the change in government, with the new minister coming in, who needed a bit of time to get used to this, but also the changing in the parliamentary cycle. And that is the victim empowerment bill, as well as the
just a minute, Honourable Minister. Can we put it this way? That I thought you would give us an overall of the performance, but in case, because we are actually overlapping the implementers, not those who oversee. So our question should be directed to the acting president, the acting.
Enough time to entertain the issue that refers to the organizational arrangement. So that case, Minister, we thank you for that, but we must leave it there so that Tamari goes straight to the expenditure report, quarterly report. Please,
thank you. In response to the invitation for us to come and present how we have performed in terms of our pre-determined objectives for the first quarter, which the first quarter started at the first quarter stage and ended at the 30th of June 2018. So we are coming here as a department to present how we have done. But in addition to that, we're also presenting how then has been the state of our expedition, especially within that reporting period. So those are just the two purposes of the presentation. I'll take you through some of them. We still have strategic objectives which will be ending in the current financial year, and this current financial year marks the end of our MPS period. We started in the 2014-2015 financial year, so the 2018-19 marks the end of those. So we are still maintaining the 8 priorities, which includes, among others, our ability to expand our child and care services across the BD, our reform in terms of the social welfare sector, and our ability to deepen the social security and expand the scope of our social security, increase access of HR development. We also committed ourselves to the NTSF to strengthen community development interventions, combat substance and gender-based violence, substance abuse as well as gender-based violence. We also wanted to increase our ability and capacity to provide food and nutrition security, and we've been doing that through the Food for All program. So these are some of our priorities that we've been maintaining since the beginning of 2014, and this day, as I said, not the end of that particular period for that particular priority. We have 5 programs which the presentation is structured on. We've got program 1, which is administration. We've got program 2, social assistance. Program 3, social security and administration. Program 4 relates to welfare services, policy development, as well as implementation support. And lastly, the program 5, which is on social security, as well as accessibility. Right? So this is how the presentation is structured. We look in terms of how target each program has been achieved, as well as the expenditure, as well as the take the best format in terms of how it's been crafted. What we've been doing since especially in the previous financial year, if you remember Honorable Chairperson, is that we do provide the committee with a detailed analysis in terms of the target. In the current financial, in the current quarter of quarter one, as you know, the slide is only about 55. And of course, you remember that in the APP we have a total of 62. So this takes away a fraction of the target, with the target, were not relevant for them to be reported during this quarter. So, for example, you see in problem 3, it's only about one target. It just means this day only has one target. In total, they have about 5 targets in terms of the annual. In terms of the APC, but for this particular course, it was only one particular target that was relevant to be reported into that. And they've got 2 as well for program 4 and 2 other for program 5. So this is the picture of the 55,000 number of targets that were relevant for this particular course, which is the first course. As a department, we were able to achieve 38 of those. And it was only 6 of those targets that we partially met, and 11 of those targets that as a department we could not achieve. And the reasons will be provided as I go into detail for each program. The DM is, in their opening, did indicate that under the period of, in the period under review, which is the first quarter, the department has achieved almost 70%, which specifically is about 69%. So we have achieved 69%, as I said, it's equal to about 88 of the 55. And it's 11% of those that we partially met. It means there was work that has been done, but we're not fully met, and it's on 20% of those that the department did not achieve. And as I did in the case in the slide, to follow in the
detail. I'm not sure actually if that's who or who, so I can still remember continuously engaging. Can I get it? You've got it. Okay. Thank you very much. You can call it later on. Thank you.
Okay, it's that slide with the present how in the graphic and how where the achievements are being presented. They will follow up each other and I hope everyone is following them. The Deputy Minister did indicate in terms of summary some of the reasons that we have not achieved, but as I said, we'll go into detail which then what constitutes the 20% of the target that we did not meet, as demonstrated in the slide before. And this includes, for example, on program one, we had to come up with a human resource strategy for the sector, which we did not finalize, because part of the recommendation when this was presented in our internal structure was the recommendation that the human resource strategy needs to be aligned with the overall DSD strategy. And as the department did not finalize the DMS said, we're in the process of doing the new planning, and the planning currently, unfortunately, we are not planning just for a year, we are planning for the whole administrative term, because this is the end of the MTSF, so we need to plan for 5 years rather than just for 1 year. So the process is taking much longer, we need to review our money as a department, as well as for the sector. Those are some of the resources that delayed in terms of finalization of the human resource management strategy. They are actually relevant, just not for the DSD or the old administrative department, but for the overall sector, which includes our provincial department, as well as the agencies, as well as those that are working with us. The second part relates to the functioning of the government entity oversight, the role of social development, the national, the oversight that you do. And that has not been finalized on the basis that the act that establishes those particular entities, which is part of the NDA, they had to be reviewed. And so we are in the process of engaging, making sure that we are reviewing some of those particular acts, because the oversight element needs to be born within those particular acts so that we are able to perform our functions adequately. The last part, as the DM has mentioned, relates to the two bills. One of those bills is with regard to the Social Security Amendment Bill, which has not been finalized, as well as the Social Crime on Victim Support Services Bill. And these, as a department, are the bills that we considered, given the delays that have happened in the, not only in the parliamentary process, but for us to make sure that we are able to brief adequately the new minister during that transition. These have been considered by the department. We want to submit them for an errata in addition to other targets as well, which relate to issues such as Operation Patricia, the work that you have to do with regard to that, also with regard to Project Mikonzo, as well as the work that you have discovered that our one of the departments that is the center of government, which is DPME, it is that has been doing some of the work with regards to the local community based workout program. So there's quite a number of activity work that has been done there. So we feel at some point it could be duplication, so we're finding ways in terms of how they do work together in terms of delivering that rather than having this as our own function that appears in the APP. Under program one, then now I'm going to each and every program. I'm starting with program one, which is administration. Under this program, and the total number of targets that had, which were about 8, especially in this quarter, the program one has achieved 50% of those targets, with 25% of those targets that were partially met, and there's a total of about 12 of the targets that the program did not meet at all. I'll just go down then to the detail of those that were achieved and those that were not achieved. At the beginning, when I was giving the summary of the targets that are then contributing towards the 20% of the overall non-achievement, I did indicate that there's been a lack of us to align the our human resource structure, human resource traffic structure, because this could not be achieved as a result of the delays, as I said, in terms of us coming up with our strategy. As I said, we are paying for 5 years now, not just for 1 year. So the process needs to be better and understand where we are paying for 1 year. So we have, as a department, in terms of the risk for deviation, we are still in the process of revising and repositioning our mandate. There are processes, the MSA, in terms of us coming up with a new organizational structure, and that organizational structure needs to be informed by the strategy. So there's quite a lot of strategic work that is being undertaken in the government. Hence the deviation with regard to that particular target, which is an alignment and the approval of that generic structure within the national department. The second one, there's no deviation, and it relates to international relations, where during this quarter we should facilitate DSD's participation in international platforms. And during this quarter, there's quite a number of those platforms that were able for us the department to participate. This includes ISA, includes the United Nations, includes our participation in other international forums. This includes the World Aid, the international conference, the international aid conference. It includes the DSD, it has been to USA. We also participated in two cross-border meetings. This includes the JICA and so forth. On any oversight, I did indicate that what there is a review, the DSD had to go to the extent of reviewing some of these excess conditions did, but there's been some work that has been happening to that extent. But this is having the IT related target. We had a target to define and analyze the community development business processes, and this has been met fully, and the report is available where a science integration in terms of defining exactly the business processes with regard to the data that relates to the NPO, community development, the three beams and so forth, that has been fully achieved. We also have a target for up to, with regard to any oversight, to do a stakeholder management plan, and the plan has been developed, and internal engagements were undertaken with regard to that plan, and so forth. The two areas where, as I said, could not be achieved is with regard to the development of the terms of reference, as well as the analysis of governance strategic gaps within these two entities in particular. As I said, the first one, DSD has been, is still considering and reviewing the oversight function over these entities, and this should be in line with the relevant legislation that has established them. So, but however, we need to mention that there are existing forums which are on oversight management that provide us as the social development an opportunity to be able to monitor the government of these entities. As I mentioned, that there is a FASTEC that exists in the department. We also developed, I think by the end of the previous financial year, the framework as well for the oversight of the two particular entities. The second one relates to us having to review the act, as I indicated, that addresses these two entities. On M&E and finance, which are the last two units under Program 5 that I will be looking into, is one regarding the implementation evaluation that has to do with the project in Congo. So the department wanted to undertake the evaluation in terms of how then was this project in Congo implemented in the previous term. And there's been much work which could not be completed by end of the reporting period, such as the inception report. And because the certain committee that oversees that particular work had to provide more input towards it, and it took longer than the 3 months in terms of the 14 period for that work to be revised. So in the next quarter, we'll be able to report more than just the inception report, hoping it will also include some of the work in terms of recommendation. Resisting to finance, by the end of the first quarter, we had to finalize the annual financial statement for the previous financial year, because there's an overlap and this has been done. There's no overlap regarding that, because we've been able to submit it should both the Auditor General as well as the National Treasury for final auditing. Moving to the second program of the solar African, this there's no deviation. The all factors have been fully met because they're dealing with the transfer of funds. But I can just highlight that what is notable here, we can look at down at the social relief in terms of the applications that have been awarded. The target was only 42,051, and we see the what then was achieved was more than double. It was about 86,471 of those targets, but we'll provide the explanation. I'm sure the FNDG, as she is responsible for social security, providing that particular explanation. Now, moving through you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we are moving now to Program 3, which is Social Security Policy Administration. At the beginning, I did indicate at the summary table that it is in this program where it's only one target that was relevant, and that target is about the social assistance, the amendment bill that you undertake, and that target has not been achieved. So we had hoped and committed ourselves to submit this policy to government for approval, and this there's been delays with regards to that, and this is this particular target that as a department we applied ourselves and considered that it should be submitted for the data, given that we realized that there's lots of consideration or reconsideration rather that we have to take on all the relevant legislation and not only just pass it or package within the comprehensive social security policy. So all these other policies or legislation that were a version of this one, we realize that we need to reconsider them before we submit to cabinet for approval. And the implications for it to be submitted for the ARASA, which should be a different process. Moving to Program 4 on welfare services, the graduate full met 15% of its targets on during the first quarter, and 18 of those went to a partially met, with 20% not met at all. On the costing and demand and supply market for social service professionals, there's no deviation. This has been fully met because this, the costing report is available, has been developed. The second one relates to the Service Practitioners Bill, and which we had hoped to submit to cabinet for cabinet to approve for guaranteeing for public comment. And this could not be done because there's been delays on our chairperson with the department receiving the pre-certification from the Office of the State, from the Chief State Law Advisor, which of course is a prerequisite for us to submit for approval to cabinet. And once this has been certified, we are committing that, and once we receive the certification from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor, we will be making sure that we are able to submit. And given that this is now almost the end of the second term, I am sure that has been already achieved. Moving on the professional services, now on services related to other persons as well as to early childhood development. During the first quarter, on the other persons, we had committed ourselves to develop a concept note for the hosting of the older persons parliament as well as the aging process, which will already take place during the October month, or the last week of October, to be specific, and this has been done for deviation. There's also no deviation for us on our target to consolidate all the government reports with regard to the implementation of the national integration implementation policy on early childhood development, and the report is available. So this has been achieved. Also, there's no deviation on the next two targets for us to present the national plan of action for children to the social sector stakeholders. This has been achieved. Because we've been able to present this plan on various forums. This includes the National Children's Rights Intersectoral Coordinating Committee. This was done in April. And also, we were able to go to two provinces during between this reporting period, which is April to June. This includes the KZN, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, and Eastern Cape. So we did then a provincial national plan of action for children has been presented in those two provinces. On our commitment regarding the monitoring of the Children's Act implementation, this has been done. We've been able to conduct three provincial engagements in Northwest, in Northern Cape, Western Cape, as well as the region, and the report has been disseminated. And the reporting template is being implemented with regard to the implementation of the Children's Act. On notification as well, on the app being able to submit the Children's Care and Protection Policy to social sector programs, in particular the Social Protection Committee has already been made development cluster that was held in June. We were able to submit and present it on the International Child Care and Protection Policy. Also, there's no deviation for us to have developed the intervention guidelines on community-based prevention and early intervention services, especially for services to vulnerable and to vulnerable children. And this has been developed. So there's no deviation regarding our or those targets that are meant to offer to vulnerable children, including the services that we provide for them. On building capacity of the provinces to implement these guidelines on issues such as adoption, strategies as well as the foster care, including the child and youth care standards. That capacity has been built, especially on the registration of adoptable children and processing adoptive parents. This was done in Gauteng as well as KZN. However, there were delays because some of the provinces could not provide the dates on time for us to be able to come and build the capacity, but they are certainly provinces have always done in the subsequent quarters, and I'm sure as we have completed quarter two, some of them have already been covered. But during the first quarter, it was mainly the very provinces which include Eastern Cape, Limpopo, as well as Mpumalanga, they were capacitated. Still under children services, and obviously, we had a commitment and a target for the discussion to develop a draft intersectoral protocol, and this was done. There's no process, there's no deviation, there's also no deviation for the department on the target to build capacity in one of the provinces so that it's able to implement the teenage parenting program. And in this instance of Free State, that was trained during the month of June, which is the last month of the quarter. Regarding the social crime and prevention and victim empowerment programs, we had one of the targets that said there's no deviation, which is about the approval of the youth policy framework on accreditation of diversion services. This was done and approved by Cabinet during May 2018. And also, as the department, we were able to conduct two awareness campaigns in two provinces, and these are the Eastern Cape as well as the Bongo, with regard to the multidisciplinary accredited social crime prevention strategy. Still on social crime, the one area where I did indicate at the beginning in terms of some of those two bills, the second bill relates to the Bill on Victim Empowerment Support Services, which we could not do or could not meet, and this target as well, there's consideration for it to be submitted on the RASA on the basis that we have to refine the target and so that it's able to also to accommodate input from the JCPF cluster meeting, the JCPF teaching cluster meeting as well. So it might not be going then for public comment because we need to take into consideration some of these inputs. On the web that wanted to do in terms of reviewing our other case that has a problem of action so that you are able to address and respond better to gender-based violence, especially on the process of the plan on the problem of action 2018, that work has been done. We have appointed also the services of external services to assist us in terms of conducting that review so that every kind of able to respond better to that case of gender-based violence. On the subject of youth program, we are seeking approval as a commitment. We wanted to seek approval from the cluster to with regard to contract on the policy, and it has been done. We're able to present it to development community cluster we are able to obtain approval. We also still are the process that used to finalize the transmission draft master plan and to resubmit it to cabinet, and this has been done. And the inflation plan to the we have finalized the administration master plan, inflation plan to the department under FOSAT, and this was done to the May, and also to the economic cluster on the 23rd of May, and we are ready for resubmitting to Parliament. Regarding the rights of persons with disabilities, there's about three in targets. One was for the department to redraft the redrafting of the draft policy to align it, the policy on the policy on social development services to persons with disability. We wanted to make sure that it's aligned with the white paper on the rights of persons with disabilities. That work could not be completed because the redrafted policy had not been then shared with all other important stakeholders so that we finalize the input. So there's been delays for us to complete that particular work. On the second package, which relates to after we completed a consultative workshop on disability rights framework awareness campaign, this target has also not been fully met as a department, because there's been delays as well for us to complete that particular framework. So this will be reported adequately in the subsequent quarter. As I said, because of this depended more on the completion of the consultations on the framework, so that we are able to have those inputs completed during this particular reporting period. Final one on disability, there is no deviation. The department will be able to draft of all the responses with the second on the consultation with the stakeholders. There's no deviation here. So our response as a country to the UN list of issues have been approved and submitted to DECO, and this was done during the month of May. The final program then is program 5, which is on social policy as well as community development. In under this program, chapter 3, which is the last program before I head over to fund, is that we had achieved 59% of our targets under this program with none of the targets that are partially met, but the rest, which is 7% are targets that were not met. Some of those relate to EBWP. One of the things we wanted to do was for us to do to draft the phase 4, which is the fourth phase of our social sector plan related to the EBWP. We had hoped that we would be able to have them completed by end of the first quarter, but during the first quarter we had not completed the consultation so that we are able to report or input to that particular report, and so there's been delays, and I'm sure in the subsequent quarter this will be reported adequately. Related to the operational development, there are no deviations with regard to the current report, and also the concept paper that you must have to develop regarding the demographic dividend, because we wanted to have that understanding of that, and we have developed by the end of the quarter that concept paper. Relating to the NPOs, there's three targets which have been fully met. One of them includes for us to consolidate input towards the review of the NPO bill to cabinet, and we have been able to get those inputs. We also completed during this period the NPO partnership model. We had to facilitate the development of the inflation plan, the inflation plan is ready. And finally, was about the DLC sector funding, and this draft for both DLC and the sector funding model and have been developed by end of the first quarter. And finally, is on a program related to look. It's just two issues. It's one related to our own DFD policy as well as DFD implementation strategy for that particular policy. This has been completed, and there are no deviations with regard to those. Finally, is on the cooperatives. We, at the time, we wanted to link to other cooperatives with open opportunities, and we did not meet fully the target. It was not 200, but rather it was 150, and there were delays in terms of processing and identifying emerging cooperatives. And we are, in terms of collective action, Chairperson and members, we think more cooperatives will be linked in the subsequent quarters, and some of these will not meet in the first quarter fully. We, under the first quarter, we have drafted the model for CFDCs, which is a community nutrition development center. This is completed. We also provided food to vulnerable individuals and those CFDCs. The target was 103, and you could see we have almost doubled in terms of how we have performed. The actual output was just about 298. 5,006,000 of vulnerable individuals that we mentioned in the department by end of this reporting period, which the first quarter had access food, and access to food rather through this brings me to the end, but in summary, the last slide then presents how each program performed. As you can see, I have been going through detail. The first fully met is program 2, and this was followed by program 5, which had met 59%, and program 1 only at 53%, and so forth. So I'll then, through you, Chairman and honorable members, hand over to my colleague, Fanny, to take us through in terms of the details of our expenditure and I think the reporting period.
Thanks.
So members want us to go through the president's and before they ask their question.
Thank you. You can go on.
Thank you, so the financial report for the first quarter of this financial year, we're supposed to spend 25% of the allocation, and we've actually achieved that 25% spend. If we look at the different programs, of call versus our line function, or line function versus our operations, administration and social security, welfare services were the three programs that were not aligned with 25% spending. We'll come to the detail of what are the reasons for the low and high spending later in the different slides. The same principle goes for our economic classification, our goods and services is currently only 12% spending for the first quarter, but we'll come to the reasons. Then our classes on 25%, our personnel goal is on 23%. We know the cost of livings for level 7, levels 1 to 12 has been implemented. The SMS has been implemented on Monday, so that effect will only be seen in the second quarter of the financial. Then on CAPEX, 20% spending, which is almost in line. If we go to different programs, program 1, there's a 20% spending, allocation of 383 million, and as we've mentioned in the previous portfolio briefings, 120 million of this allocation goes to mandatory services, our fee services, our internal audit, our office of commercialization. So there's some of these invoices hasn't been received, has been slow, so but that's some of the reasons for the slow spending. If we look into the detail for program 1, we can see the different sub-programs. Ministry is 25%, which is in line. Departmental management, which is the DG's office strategy and MMT, is almost 25%. Our corporate services, that is where we, in terms of our IT, our HR, and those people are. Currently 15%, I'll come to the reasons just now. Finance 23, the order 21, and office accommodation 19%. Just in terms of reasons, our corporate services, you can recall that we signed an agreement with CETA in terms of our turnkey solution. Currently we have released the previous financial year the amount of 55 million. So as they think, they give priority on that to us. So for this year, we get another 34 million that will transfer to the second to the third quarter of the financial year. As we can't make monthly meetings with the CETA to show the primaries, and also they submit to us in terms of reports. Of the supplement, I should tell that I think this is getting, we've only received two invoices coming from the public works, but we are in contact with them on the follow-up to ensure that we do not have the year balance in the public works. On social assistance, 25% spending, which is in line. The only issue really is on social of the state, it's only 8% spending. The reason being there is that we only receive claims from the beneficiaries as and when it's required. So currently the claims has been slow by the social assistance beneficiaries. But we are also having an update with them on a daily and weekly basis to ensure that there's no backlogs, that all payments get released as soon as possible to our social beneficiaries. And there is currently a dedicated person to administer the social assistance function. Social Security, this is what I mentioned, but Mr. Lester has mentioned in terms of the goal. This is why there is no spending currently on this specific area in terms of Social Security. And it's clearly seen in your two sub-programs, the Social Security Policy Development and the Inclusive Education. Both of them have only spent between 10 and 30% for the first quarter, and the reason being the Social Security goal is currently not yet submitted to cabinet for approval, and that is the main reason for the social spending. If the goal is the goal gets passed, qualification will increase for the appeals unit, and that will have a significant effect on the spending currently. On welfare services, only 7% spending. This is one of our major core programs in the department, where service delivery is affected. One of the achievements that we had in the first quarter was the Child Protection Week. We didn't spend the full budget in terms of the Child Protection Week on that specific area. We have decided to stagger some of the funding that the different children's activities within our financial year, so we haven't spent the full budget on one week. So we will have importantly for 3 and 4 also different children's activities. The other sub-programs relates to, if you look at the big money that we have for the children, and also for the HIV/AIDS and the substance abuse, this is where our conditional grants is currently. I will just give you quickly a feedback on our conditional grants that we've had for the first quarter. Our substance abuse operational conditional grant is the allocation of 70 million. I'm sure my colleague, Mr. Marlis, will give further information on the progress of all the conditional grants, but for the substance abuse, we have transferred so far 8.8 million, that's to the Eastern Cape. The Northern Cape has been completed in the first quarter. East Cape has got some issues. Northwest is finalized and there will also be opening soon. In terms of the social workers' absorption, the allocation there is from 96 million today. We have transferred 49 million. All provinces have appointed all graduates in the previous financial year, so it's just a question of maintaining those numbers in the current two financial years. Then on ECD, it's a split between our subsidy and our maintenance. There is average spending in our subsidy. The maintenance portion is currently an issue, but we are increasing it with the various programs. So the allocation is almost 500 million there. We can't start there's some of the reasons that we can discuss these questions in terms of different sub-programs. in terms of service standards, regards to the white paper and the schedule for the third and the fourth quarter. I've mentioned the substance abuse to older persons. We all know about the activation program, which will only take place in the third quarter of the financial year. People with disabilities, there's the children's parliament, which has been scheduled for the third quarter. In terms of families, there's low spending because of the national bodies who will lead to the reason for it. For social crime, there's activities such as the human trafficking. In Dawa, the launch of the White Horse, most of them scheduled for the second and third quarter of the financial year.
In terms of our economic classification for welfare services, this is
probably where we have significant challenges. It's in our promises and subsidies portion. Promises and expenses, that's for the conditional grants, that's on 23% that is on average. Our foreign payments, that's membership that we do from international organizations, so we're small enough. We've only managed to transfer 25,000 from 797. Our non-profit organizations, the allocation is 121. Money in the country transfer 775,000. And then our household for 126, and we transfer 143. So it's not a standstill, quickly to the NPOs. Including that allocation, is our national council that we have, that's about 29 million. This is the first year that we do a 3-year allocation. In the previous financial years, we only had the 1 year, 1 year, 1 year. Now we've changed the dynamics, now it's a 3-year allocation. So obviously, the contract needs to be renewed and changed and amended. We need to ensure that the objectives in the context in line with the DSD. So obviously then there's a longer administrative burden for us that we need to relook at before we release and ensure that the funding goes according to. Above that, Treasury issued Circular 21. I'm not sure if you're aware of Circular 21, it's where they reclassify our transfers and transfers to whether to NGOs, to provinces, to households, where we have to now look at if we transfer money to an NGO, if they give us a service, we have to reclassify that as using services. Are we if we maintain them, we sort of classify as a transfer payment. So we have to go and relook again on all the contracts, if our NGOs is indeed bringing us a service or are we maintaining them on an operation. So that also has an influence on transfer this money to our NGOs. The second portion there is to our HIV/AIDS organisation. Directly we're transferring money to the amount of almost 90 million to SANEC. We have submitted approval to National Treasury to redirect this funding for other HIV/AIDS programs. I'm sure Connie can elaborate on that. So we are awaiting National Treasury's approval that we can redirect this funding to the department so that we can run HIV/AIDS programs. Part of the 90 million, we're still going to release 30 million to SANEC for the operations in this financial year, and that's the schedule for the second quarter of the financial year. Then on households, the 126 that you see there is mostly for the payments to our NESAs. That will be done in July of this financial year. And that's what I illustrate in terms of the notes. It's all there. Then on program 5, integrated service delivery. Most of the programs is in line with the 25% spending. Our National Development Agency, we transferred our 60% to the NDA in the first quarter. The others is merely slow spending because of some issues that we had with administrators. Our major transfers, as we indicated, is that the NDA, the 202 has been allocated, we transferred 121, that's the 60 million. And then very importantly, our national food program, the allocation of the 60 million, we've already transferred 30 million. And that this program also has got an influence on our Sector 21 change that we have to reclassify, because if we transfer funding to a CNBC, it is a goods and services item. If we transfer it to a PFDC, which is our food distribution center, it's classified as a transfer payment, so we also have to write a period in terms of this. And this is to get the department out of trouble in the financial year. If we overspend on transfer payments, some authorized expenditure, we trouble. If we underspend, it goes back to them, so we're trying to address this issue. But we are busy with national treasury to sort this out in terms of the Circular 21. This is the other reason for this week. Chairperson, I think this is it in terms of financial information for the department for the first quarter. We've done actually not so bad. except now for the transfer issues, which is very different on the Certificate 21 that we have to show the departments that are in trouble in this financial year. Thank you very much, Chief.
Thank you very much for the information, and I think members are now ready to interact with the, both the information as well as programs including targets and times, etc. And I just want us to remember that we have a secretary standing a recommendation that is still outstanding, the one that on issues relating to NGOs, their funding and every other respect, we are going to have a fully fledged meeting with them so that we can discuss your report in terms of this is as Parliament we have oversighted over this, and they will be telling us their experiences, and then we will be recommending as to how this should be politically addressed. And I think Deputy Minister, what we are also expecting is that this report are now a basis for our legal services. So we would want specific and what has not been attended to be clear so that the next portfolio committee is able to know this is work to be done and also to know these have to be done, have been already been done, so that their oversight is effective. We're oversighting what has been achieved, so we want to sustain and maintain it. These ones were in the pipeline. We want to finish them and ensure that there is change. So I just want to make that reminder and to give you so that what is in there is going for records against our names and your names as the portfolio committee. So I will allow members to engage with the information in front of us. Can I request or honorable report to sit for me? Thank you. concern because it's in this national disaster department. And then you said you have presented the draft policy to the FCOM cluster for approval. What I wanted to find out is whether it's still not yet approved. Because to have a policy that is not approved is equal to the policy that is not yet there. And also the target, you know, to say seek approval to consult the police in this national cluster department. Can it just become a target, just to seek approval? Really, I don't know, because I think it's a day-to-day work just to write to say you're requesting for approval, but just put it as a target. I don't know, but maybe it was important just to put it down. Yeah. The other one, Chair, is on program number one. Implement alignment and approval of provincial generic structure. When are you envisaging to revise and reposition department mandate in order to align and approve this provincial generic structure within the national structure? When are you envisaging to do that? Because it was the target that you were supposed to do in this quarter, and then now we are saying no, because there was a challenge that you haven't revised and repositioned the mandate. When are you in decision to do that? It's on the human capital management program one. And then also on program one, NDC oversight. Analysis of government strategic gaps in entities has begun to focus on SASA. By when are you expecting all DSD entities to review their acts? Because you are just saying they must, all DSD entities have to review their acts without indicating. It means to say that it will affect your progress, your target. Also on page, on the monitoring and evaluation and finance, on program one, you indicated that the approval of the study design and scope of project, MECONDO. So the time frame was extended without indicating what date. Maybe if you can share with us what date was it extended to. The other one is on the program three, social security policy development. You were supposed to submit the social assistance amendment to the cabinet for approval and the policy. Do you think that this particular bill is going to be finalized before the fifth parliament runs? Or have you finalized, already considered all relevant legislation in line with the comprehensive social security policy? Because you said in order to achieve that, you have to consider all these comprehensive. If you can share with us whether you have done that, and also whether this particular amendment bill will be finalized before the fifth parliament trial. The issue of the provinces on the children's services often in vulnerability. Present national plan of action for children to the social sector stakeholders. You indicated the provinces that you have covered, there are like four. When are you going to cover the others? Oh, it was only this that you are going to cover. And then on the issue of monitoring the implementation of the Children's Act. I don't know, it's like a broad statement to say you're going to implement the Children's Act. What tool, other than the template of reporting, you going to use to make sure that you monitor that the implementation of the Children's Act is taking place, other than the template that you are indicating that you are giving to the provinces? And also, if they don't appear like the others, let's say they fail to give you the date on time, so that you can deal with the workshop, what mechanism do you have to force them to really give you the, those dates, so that if they are being workshopped, they understand, in order for you to monitor? I can post there at the moment, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Man. Honourable Jeff, and the third one is Honourable Matamo.
Thank you, Honourable Acting Chairperson. And in essence of the Deputy Director and the Member, thank you. I'd also like to appreciate the presentation at DG and the financial person. I must say that the notes of this business with us, much people, you know, we don't see the notes, but we would before the presentation, and you know, before we began, I was notified that the presentation was put to follow and to share. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'd also like to ask the department if there is a specific reason why they don't report specifically on time frames. We always would hear that it will take place, but for us to monitor, we need to know, if, you know, where to take place so we can put it down and keep your account on. It's difficult when we say it will take place and we don't want to see it. I'd also like to align myself with the numbering of the pages. If the department increases the number of pages, it makes life easier for us when we read and when we actually inspect on the presentation. In program one, my colleague at Scott, the approval of the study design and scope project for the Commonwealth. Also, the time frame of an approval to inspect following the continuous year about the process plan. Then, also by approving electronically, I know to speed up, but how would you monitor and evaluate the action if it is done in that way? Instead of just seeing the tick box that has been done and electronically and so on, I'm wondering if the evaluation is anything important. And program four, also regarding the Children's Act, why does the department only conduct provincial engagement in three provinces, Northern Cape, Western Cape, and Free State? I know you can't cover all the provinces, but if you can just tell us why and when will you then be coming to the other provinces. In program four, regarding the conduct of awareness campaigns, line campaigns, also again, only two provinces were covered, Eastern Cape and Limpopo. And again, when will these other provinces be done? And when we go to provinces, how do we get to make sure that we go down to war rates? Because we find that the department has been in the province, but people on the ground, they don't agree on what they need to. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Mine is just a clarity question. I remember in one of the slides we talked about the social work card that has been absorbed, and I heard the presentation to be saying that all the social workers have been absorbed in the provinces. Social workers have been absorbed. I just want to clarify that if I heard that.
No, thank you. I think I need to, Deputy Minister, we need to raise the issue of these are non-administrative issues of numbering of locations. I don't think it's a bad time as a community we talk about those. If you are a student, maybe a student or minister submitting a portfolio or assignment for you not numbering the cases. You get maybe zero. So I think this is the last time. But again, on the issue of the report of the financial report, the report on the finances, the agreed report that we need to get is the first time as the community. In fact, I'm impressed the way that you have talked on the issue of finances, because usually your CFO, because not today is right here, we never find the financial notes. So one is impressed that today as this committee we did get the financial loans, the ones that are taking us forward, and to know that where is the weakness, and to be we take it. Maybe before I come with my questions, I will allow the department to check your agreement and my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson. Good morning to the members. The questions that we have got, what I would do is ask Salami to deal with some of the problem. One question, the question related to the council, or you had a question too, and then the municipality will deal with some of the questions related to problem 5. And Colleen will deal with questions related to social responsibility questions and the social work coverage questions. And I'll take off my head of activity and answer all the questions related to social security. But we'll start with problem 1, and then we'll go to problem 5, then problem 4, and I'll come back to problem 2 and 1, which relates to the social security work.
Maybe I can use it. I'm sorry, before that, you need to have to ask me so much because the report is so much of the rules that is happening in the department. Maybe just give us a guide to the issue, what is happening, and why is it different to the conference that has been used.
Thank you. To repeat what she has said, which is that, of course, there's a lot of points where I think they've been over the period, and we are coming to the close really of the 5-year period. And some of the programs have been short quite a lot, but in the process now of having the political change, we have to review some of the legislation actually, and see whether the direction that we've been on is appropriate in the new government that we are coming into. And one of the things that we had as when we started initiating the previous meeting was that we were going to do a breakout session, we would begin to look at our needs and say, are we still on the right track? And also given the issues of the governmental of the economy. So under those circumstances, we did have our breakout session. And in that process, I identified certain work that we needed to approach slightly differently. And we have not yet, after the breakout session, the intention is we're now going to a strategic planning session where we will then update each other and say, here are the system I mean, and this is the key challenge we're facing. These are some of the projects that we need to continue to prioritize, and these are some of the ones that we need to change. We have not finished the strategic planning process as yet, but what we do want to do is on those areas where a lot of progress has been made, we'll continue with that. But with some of the legislative provisions that we're starting to make, we want to take a part. With regards to the two bills that we are thinking of not proceeding with, the idea that instead of consulting the JCPS class are on the obesity and poverty bill that we have, but also with regards to the social assistance provisions, you are aware of the issues around SAP and the changes that have been made in the delivery of social assistance. So it's actually that we are saying, instead of doing a lot of piecemeal revisions to our social assistance provisions, we want to rather take a course and say, the overarching social assistance program, what does it look like, and should we be going in a piecemeal way, or should we rather do a more comprehensive review of the program? And then based on that comprehensive review, amend all the issues that we need to amend, and also improve the way in which we've been interacting with all of our agencies, not just the fact that it's a tech entity, but the other two entities, the NGA and the CDA. So the way in which we are interacting with them and overseeing them and supporting them, we need to give them strength in that. So as part of that agenda, we are now saying, let's relook at the legislation that we're trying to take to. Also taking into account, of course, that the parental session is here and the parent for the time and the are quite shorter than what we envisaged. So we want to review some of our work in order to more comprehensively improve the direction that the department is taking with regards to those policy issues. So the work that we're doing, we will at a later stage, we would like to at a later stage come back to the portfolio committee and request an opportunity to Iraq has some of the issues that they go to do. But this is another time we didn't want to go through the process that the normal administrative process that you have to go through, we want to do that. And then so when we come back, we'll see some of the things that we have done in our NPP. Because we are changing direction and we're finding the way to do the open management, and we request that those things be changed, and we'll come to the portfolio committee with that request.
Okay, thanks. I must sincerely apologize for the number issue. We'll look into it, but also I want to, for example, I'm trying to say I did put numbers now, but you can't see them because the part of the corporate culture, you have to come up with a slide on specific things. The number is within that 100 of my data. It's there right now, as I put it, but it can't show, but we'll still look into how them to improve and put the numbers. Because it's like, it's already noted in part of the corporate culture that you must use an adult figure. But we do take that and we want to see that and make sure that we find ways of putting numbers. So the two questions relating to the project in council, on the extension, of course, I need to extend that. For all the evaluations that we develop, we first come up with a concept paper so that you can explain the spectrum, what is it that you want to do, what way is the type of evaluation that you need to do, and as part of the government structure that manages that way, we establish a study committee that will oversee that way. So for the concept paper that was initially done, the response then from the study committee was that there was much more work that had to be completed towards it. So once we have planned for the concept paper to be finalized on the second term, there's been more work that had to be done to make sure that we obtain inputs. Our group was structurally meant because of to make sure that we are innovative and also do not delay for people who are always traveling and so forth, because an electronic way to submit those particular proposals in terms of the terms of reference and so forth, the part of delegation, and the recommendation is that we make sure that if it means those things are approved electronically, it means even if it's email or a video conferencing and so forth, but we need to be innovative so that we don't have to wait until the committee members find time for them to sit around one particular room and provide approval to the revised concept document. I think that made it, and you are saying that should be completed by the second term, and I can assure the members, even right now, there's more work that is going into it, as we would have better report to it in the subsequent context. I think that's it. I think the agency did cover the issues on the end of the oversight, which then also reaches much more on attempting to complete this work of revising our strategic plan as well as the mandate. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Thank you for the opportunity. Let me start with the anti-substance abuse policy, the question of writing sick. It's a matter mainly of using words, but it meant exactly what it means to say we need a sick approval from the structures of the GDC. It's not about the letter, because the policy approval process takes almost 4 months, because it has to go to the substructures of the focus clusters and also to the clusters themselves before it goes to government. So within this quarter, we wanted to go to one of the substructures of the JCPS, which is the Development Committee, of which we managed to go and present. And they also had input that we had to rewrite and also send it back to them. Now we are on our way to the focus JCPS cluster in the next quarter. The second one is on the National Plan of Action for Children. Why only 4 provinces? When are the others going to be done? If you look at the APP itself, and what we were supposed to do is to consult the social sector stakeholders, which we did through that structure that we mentioned, that is the National Coordination Committee. That structure consists of 16 national government departments, NGOs, and also the 9 provinces. However, we added in that delivery to say, over and above that structure being constructed, we also decided to go to 4 additional provinces. So in the next quarter, we agreed that let's finish the 5. So because we believe that when you go down to the provinces, you get more stakeholders on board than having a national session where maybe 3 or 4 people are sent to a forum. So in the next quarter, we'll be finalizing the other provinces. Implementation of the Children's Act, why are we just maybe using the reporting framework? Let me also indicate that we have developed a monitoring and reporting framework for the monitoring of the implementation of the Children's Act overall. So that's the framework the team is using to visit all the provinces to monitor and report. It's just that when you provide portfolio of evidence, you need to just get the report. But we do have an MNE tool, which is part of the framework. Yes, there are provinces that sometimes they are not giving us data on time, but also we need to blame ourselves because it's about planning, proper planning. If you don't plan properly, you will always blame the next person. So if provinces change dates, it's because they also have other priorities in their own provinces where they will write back to us and say, we are not available now on that day that we promised. The MEC or the Premier is asking us to go wherever. So we have to reschedule. What we do if such changes happen, the only thing we do is reschedule. But we also say, let's try and improve on planning, whether if we plan on time, and we try to also consider provincial calendars where we can, maybe such things won't happen more often. The other provinces are going to be as planned in the quarterly targets to be developed within the next quarter. The next one is around awareness campaigns in 9 provinces, Y2. It's in terms of the plan. If you look at the APP approved, it's 2 provinces in the first quarter. So we could not do more than what we planned for. So that's why there was no deviation. The fact that maybe are we going to, there was also a question around whether are we going to do ward-based approach. That's what we are exactly doing in those provinces. Remember, in terms of the multidisciplinary integrated social plan prevention studies, it's not only social development. When we go, we invite staff, justice, home affairs, and other departments that are mentioned in that study, because this work is monitored by the JCPSDG cluster. Then the next one, absorbing of social workers. In terms of the grant allocated, yes, we did absorb all of them, not that we resolved the problem. The amount was only able to absorb 680 social workers. So we still have a backlog of 4,285. And remember, this grant comes from the reduction of the scholarship program. So if you calculate that amount, it was only giving us, in fact, 556. The fact that it's 680 is that other provinces, like Northwest, they use their equitable share to augment the conditional grant. The only challenge we have now is that provinces like Western Cape, they appointed their 35 social workers on contract, meanwhile with the conditional grant. But at the last HSDS meeting, we did speak to them to say they must now begin to make them permanent because this grant is not going anywhere. It's going to be part of the equitable share. So it doesn't help because the reason we mentioned that is that they've got high staff turnover. While they're having the 35, one will get a permanent appointment somewhere, then there's a vacancy there, then they're underspending on the conditional grant. So we advise them to say let them explore to appoint the social workers on a permanent basis because this conditional grant will not go away. From next year, we are applying to treasure that it becomes part of the equitable share. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mkhosi. Are you having your okay, you can tell me more. Thank you.
My question is for my question is around program for what is
look at the whole page, the only program that can, that went to overlay is the program management and then the children. But that context, you know, what is it in, especially taking the challenges and the issues of HIV in the country, plus minus 7.6 million people are infected with HIV, and the standing is very low. When we take it to the youth, 8.75, why if we can go to fund, there's a lot of young people that are in our office. What is the department doing if the standing is like this? I don't know, maybe the transfer that I transfer that we're taking to the NPO or the NGO. But even if the transfer is the same, I don't see it is to be done if the cost of spending is low and the needs are out of it. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Chairperson, and the honorable members. The only question that maybe I should answer is with regards to the spending on youth. I think the budget for youth, the major budget for youth is earmarked for the youth camp, which takes place on the third quarter of the financial year, where we spend 10 million on that. So I think that's why we have low spending. The other low spending is due to the fact that this financial year in June, we normally have a June event, the program on where we go to historic areas, expose the youth in all nine provinces. So we didn't have that in this financial year.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, again. On the low spending of HIV and AIDS specifically, if you look at the presentation, the total allocation for that program is 121.6 million. Out of that amount, 98 million is transferred. 30 million funding indicated is for the operation of SAMAC, which goes straight to SAMAC, and then 68 million is the money also that was transferred to SAMAC, but he subsequently wrote to Treasury to request that can they, redirect the money back to the Department of Other Goods and Services so that they are able to deliver services. Because you see, there's low allocation under HIV for operations in the department. So it's like the pipe, this money is passing through. So now Treasury has not responded positively as yet as to they are agreeing with the redirection of the money of the 68 million. We're still going to, we'll finish our own administrative processes to transfer the 30 million. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. But also from there, I think I have a few rather comments, but if you feel you will clarify some issues, I'll be happy. There's this matter of the white paper. Since we came as this team, this paper was an issue spoken about that according to the white paper, etc., etc. But it is up to this year today that this paper is still an issue that needs to go out for consultation. In my understanding, you will have, Honorable Deputy Minister, a lot of transformation processes are actually the focus of the white paper, which is refusing to be complete and therefore be implemented. And I think the corner of so many programs that you are running, are programs that seek to transform, while not integrated because the real white paper is not in place. I think the committee would be interested to know what are the constraints that make it impossible for us to achieve this noble instrument and value towards transformation. And we will be really saved from many approaches that we want to use. That's point number one. We really need this, even if it's a challenge, even if a portfolio committee has not done its work to a certain extent with regards to white paper, even if it's a cabinet issue, even if it's a cluster, but it would be interesting to actually put it in the center and say, have we had this white paper, we might have moved it swiftly, and therefore what we do about that. And the other issue is the issue of duplication, which the committee agreed, as well as the SCOPA and Treasury. And therefore I can see the deviation in not achieving some goals was trying to integrate these in order to avoid duplication. And I think out of that process, you are likely to have some cost savings. But it is going to be critical. If we are not going to do individual, and all those, if there are some that you don't do, or you have integrated, there will be some cost savings which you must be able to reinvest with immediate effect so that you are not seen as not finishing what your budget was in terms of expenditure. But if I'm not correct in terms of this integration of the would-be duplication, integrated those activities, then it will help us. But there has been also a response to the minister, deputy minister. The speaker has received a letter that was written to the minister as a result of a parliamentary debate where it was recommended that some improvement must be done in this particular area. The issue of spending when you go out for an individual or child week or whatever, because such programs are not stipulated. If it's 10 million, 10 million. There is no breakdown that says to us, out of this is the business plan, how this is going to be spent on this child week, because protection week, because what will happen then, if we do have the breakdown, we will be able to see that the SMT becomes the one that consumes a lot in that program. The accommodation, because you have national officials going down and be on the ground for a week. And it is really very costly. Because the Deputy Minister, if you wanted to have field workers that always are coordinated to run that coordination, please do that so that they don't have to be national and local and therefore have to train for the SNC. That one is very clear. Because now what does it have to do with the always golden games? And you wonder, what is the senior executive going to do in a
content training that is already taking place. I would understand if they go for planning, but they go for implementation together with the province and everyone else. That is why this recommendation is specific to them. Please provide a business plan. But on top of that, I do have one experience as Deputy Minister and Acting DG, the one in Tijuana. I appreciate it. I don't know what was it, but it's one of your outreach that was there, door to door, coming together of departments, reports being tabled. But I have never, ever, this whole heard about sustainability of such and evaluating the impact in that poverty-stricken area, in rural areas, farmlands. There was never, I read through a document there, you know, these Molayana books you provided there, that were saying this is done, this has been done, and so on. And I saw it very critical for local government, because having been in a local space and having all departments working together, but it's once off. And it's not helping, therefore, the budget that was spent on that day, on those days, on that week, to say there is improvement in Tijuana. No, the people of Tijuana, with their challenges, they have been identified to ensure that it was carried over. It was never. Remember that old lady who was kidnapped in a way, honorable members, taken from the family, kept by another family, being looked after because she held grants. And when we asked the relatives at a long time, they said, no, they are nearby, the daughter and the grandchild. Why are they not here? You look into the document, this old lady is hypertensive, but they are not going to any clinic. The last clinic attended was 3 months ago. And in the state she was, she seems not to be responding to us. But no one knew when she last had a meal. No one knew what is the air condition now. But I don't remember anyone going back to say at the end of the day what came out of that serious. I think the former Minister of Social Development was personally there. And I personally requested that we be given full report to understand issues of how people can even capture you and keep you somewhere in order to utilize what social development has approved for you. And it's happened in many, many areas, which means we lack the oversight over the elders. I'm going to all this deputy minister goes back to the white paper and its purpose to exist. I therefore would want to put in, while we see this good work, you not bad in terms of what you have achieved. But what I don't know is how sustainable is your achievement. And how can we then say you have achieved ABC, therefore that one is finished work, you're not going to go back there. I therefore also want to remind this colleague that you can't relinquish your sole responsibility on these elderly or children or vulnerable groups because SASA is there. SASA is there for financial purposes, to make your work as a professional easier because there will be resources to address this. But it does appear that there is no difference now who decides that Cody gets
or a food parcel. It's something that takes place even in a next to the traditional Indian crown. Now, that's true, this rumor gets from where the food parcel is there. Without a proper understanding who qualifies, why, and how it is addressed. But in the issue of the bill that we're talking about, I think one of the members will apply their mind very carefully, because we've been formally informed that Parliament is not having any more members now. Members are going to their constituencies. They are very scanty here. And so as that happens, the number of bills to be dealt with are a huge number that Parliament was given this time won't be able to deal with. But what I think we'll take up as a portfolio committee with the minister is critical areas that talk about a court process or a court judgment. Because when you talk about members of Parliament, we also talk about if that bill is still going to go to the NCOP. Because there's a big NCOP out there taking Parliament to kicking. And they also have bills already in process. And they are not likely to be able to come to this deadlock that we seem to be having as this portfolio committee. So, in that arrangement, honorable members, I would appeal to you that we leave this issue, then we will be back to clarification as to what relationship does it have with court processes, so that when the minister will meet with the minister, she is indeed in a position, because we were told no matter how a chairperson is going to motivate, that decision is taken. Both whip and chair were brought together to be informed that even if you know how to lobby, you can lobby as much as you want, but this is the amount of work that we are not able to finish. So those people responsible for specific issues that relate to court, you will have to get a more clarity on that one. And therefore, I would request that at least we do have comments on the issue of the Utah Radio white paper and the business plan. Because I think for you to be cost effective and to be spot on and to know when you overspend on a program is when somebody from a department, a unit, says, this is how much we require this CFO for the program that is our target and our strategy. But without documents, but that thing, we need 17 million. It's going to be difficult to break down that 17 million, your health, your catering, your traveling expenses, your bringing people mobilization to transport. I think that one has been a thorn in the flesh in so far as members of Parliament when they listen. I mean, members of the portfolio committee, they are members of Parliament in any way. So can we get that clarity?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm just going to talk to the issue of the white paper and the regime. And we want to say to the committee, acknowledge and agree with the Chairperson and the member on the comments that the white paper would have, as you said, in the constitution. The Foreign Minister has developed a process and has appointed a committee chaired by the Professor Taylor, who was supposed to make sure that coming out of the processes of going around the country and getting input on what are the areas that are people should deal with. Based on that, the white paper was constructed.
and with the change of ministers, it's one of the things that was affected. It's the process where the new minister needed time to actually understand what the processes are. And part of what has been affected is the change in government. But I also want to say just that the white paper, even cabinet was declared tomorrow or yesterday. And so it is one of those areas that we are working with the minister so that it is structured, so that she is able to understand and get that process back on track. The areas, Chair, around the provinces and us being everywhere is also the Intergovernmental Relations Act and the manner in which the national government interacts with provinces and the broader understanding of the support we get or that we should, which we should do. And we can share a lot of experiences where you even have invested in the provinces, and the provinces just look back and they just feel like it's a core function. So there is the intergovernmental relations in that also needs to be looked at in the manner in which the national government and provinces, as well as local government, interact. And we have been trying to make sure that we give provinces a lot of that, but that has continued to be a challenge in terms of our ability to hand over certain things to provinces. That is a challenge and we accept it. It's a bigger challenge, Chairperson, in terms of the manner in which government functions. And we hope that the process that the President has put in place on the micro rearrangement of the state would also address that particular aspect, because there is a disjuncture where provinces feel there's not our responsibility, we are not going to do it. Or sorry, this is the priority for this province, we're not interested. So there are some of the things that we submitted in the processes that the President is leading, and we are in the process having to operate in the manner in which we did, because the IGR forces us to operate in that manner. The last point is we agree with the Chairperson 100% that even when we were planning to come to the Portfolio Committee, we did talk about us pulling out case law, so that we make sure we meet the deadline and we communicate to the committee which of the work is case law and what are the deadlines. So we are already preparing that for the particular committee, because those ones have deadlines, and we've also acknowledged have been briefed also by the leader of government, business ministers, and education ministers, that we can't be introducing new legislation Parliament, because Parliament, the Speaker has indicated that members and the cycle of Parliament would not make it possible for them to be concluded. So we promise that the aspects around case law that the Portfolio Committee needs to deal with, and we started that process and we are going to deal with it, and the Chairperson will get that into court. Because it is some of the things that we were also asked by the leader of government business to share with the South. On the issue of HIV and AIDS, Chairperson, as Corrie had already indicated, we are dealing with that. The follow-up of areas like Tijuarin, where we have been, and the sustainability of some of those programs, I want to say, Chairperson, the Community Development Unit has been made bigger so that it actually picks up some of those aspects. And our customer care unit has also been empowered to be able to make sure that whenever the reports come back that there's a consolidation and there is personal cases that have followed up, and where we reach these particular cases. And the command center is also now dealing with broader aspects rather than just gender-based violence, a community unit to also deal with areas as the example of corporate that has been done, and that allows us to monitor and refer cases to the district and local, but update the content of the case, and we have seen a lot of improvement in individual cases that we deal with. And we will, I think, at some point share also with the portfolio committee how we utilize the data that comes through the command center and how many of the cases we are able to solve because of the monitoring system and how we are utilizing the local social plans. Is there anything to add on the question?
Comments about the role of the professional group, but in your role in this role, can I find out actually what is the relationship? I understand I agree with the Deputy Minister on the issue of IGR, because it always leaves the gap where the other one doesn't know that the other one did not do, assumes that someone did it, but that someone also thinks he or she has done it, the other person. This issue of full share, who is responsible for? Is this health or social development? Because you find share in the hands of hospitals, not in the hands of social development. And the health in authority doesn't actually understand the urgent needs of someone having to be mobile out there. And I think if there's a problem here around this issue, you find warehouses full of wheelchairs, but you see in the TV, urgent people calling and unable to walk. So can I know your relationship? Who refers who to whom?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. There is a policy on assistive devices, and the assistive devices policy resides in the Department of Health, and the budget is also in the Department of Health. The concerns and the issues were raised with Treasury 3 years ago for the very reason that the Department of Health is not doing justice to the issues around the assistive devices, as well as the assessment, because you don't just give a wheelchair, it's an assessment administration to get the right wheelchair. All of them have already been raised by myself. We have done a CAP memo where we were requesting social development at the Department of Health. They gave us the opportunity, because the first point of entry, not that people who use wheelchairs are sick, it's ourselves, because they need the wheelchair to actually be in a social space. We have taken a CAP memo to Cabinet, and Cabinet then indicated that the Minister of Health needs to start the process so that social development can be responsible for the assistive device and policy, because it goes beyond the wheelchair. The white cane, the hearing aid, so that the assessment aspect remains in the Department of Health, but once assessed, it is the Department of Social Development that will always have the first point of entry. And disabled people were consulted, and they felt the same. So it's not a government process of handing over the shifting of the task and the budget so that we are able to function better.
Can I hear a comment from the honourable member on this entire budget, a presentation or on the quarterly report, so that we know which work that has been done is going to be polished in terms of adding whatever technically was not there, so that it is a document that represent that we were able to interrogate and not sleep on it.
Not sure. I think I support your move, Chair, because the Honourable Deputy Minister has indicated that in the process,
presentation, the time frame, because it's one of the things that we're also worried about, to say that as people that are doing oversight, if there are no time frames, you can't say you haven't achieved something. So, but it is honorable deputy minister has assured us that we will deal with it and also explain the issue of the policies that we're having concerns with, and we have an understanding that, as the chair was saying, that's why I was asking whether we shall finalize this bill before the fifth parliament arrives. So we know all of us, as the chair also was saying, that we are going to work in the constituencies now, and we won't have enough time. But we really appreciate the chair, the deputy minister's explanation, mm-hmm. and her encourage, you know, just give us clarity on some of the issues that we really have to question. And also the financing, that's why we were pointing to this slide, because the way they presented it at this time, it was having the clarity, trying to interpret the figures. So that's why we tell us to say, where is this thing that you've been there? Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister, for your interaction. Thank you for your presentation. And I think beyond the law, beyond IGR, when you go to the min-max, this min-max, yes, I was using to uni-max, but this one is min-max. When you go to the min-max, please massage the relationship between yourself and the HOTs and MCs. That relationship, we know there's law, but with massage, you can always go a long way. Thank you very much, and the meeting is formally attended. Thank you so much. Can I request the honorable members and I hear about our view of minutes now? Yeah.